Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 266 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right. Well, my first guest today is a former Ankeny football and baseball star who went on to play 3 years for the Central Michigan football team. After redshirting his initial season in the fall of 2021, he played in 18 games over the last 2 years and made 10 starts at quarterback, including the final 8 games of the 2023 campaign. He concluded his career there with 2,316 yards passing and 13 touchdowns, while also rushing for 677 yards and 14 scores. In November, he decided to enter the transfer portal, and a few weeks later, he found the new home at Sam Houston State University in Huntsville, Texas. The redshirt junior will have 2 years of eligibility remaining. He is Jace Bauer. Jace, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Well, I appreciate you coming in today. I know you're back here in Ankeny for a brief visit over the 4th of July, so I do appreciate you taking the time to stop in here. It'll be fun to catch up with you. You know, you're obviously settled in now at Sam Houston. Are you excited to get back down there and get the season underway here in a couple of months?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's been a great summer so far. We've been, you know, having summer workouts and conditioning and lifting and just kind of ready to get the playing ball part. So once we get back here, we'll start to, you know, kind of get winding down, getting ready for fall camp here in a couple of weeks. But I'm excited for the season and, you know, excited for the new opportunities. So,
well, before we talk more about Sam Houston and your expectations for the upcoming season, you know, let's talk a little bit about your career there at Central Michigan. You obviously had a lot of success over the last 2 years. You know, I know you had to share some of the playing time at quarterback, but you did start those final 8 games of last season, and it seemed like maybe you had become entrenched as the starter. What led to your decision to enter the transfer portal?
Yeah, you know, it was a great time at Central. I've been there for 3 years, and, you know, I gained some lifetime friends for sure. And, you know, definitely grew as a player and as a person. I just felt that, you know, kind of through, you know, whether the coaching and just kind of for my future, I definitely felt like the Lord was calling me down to somewhere else and to try to make an impact somewhere else. Just kind of listening to him and his plan for me, and just kind of ultimately ended up down in Texas, which is, you know, just as far away as Michigan. But yeah, it was definitely a tough decision, and definitely one I had to pray and reflect on, and ultimately just came to the realization that it was time for me to go find a new home somewhere. So
we'll talk about your decision here in a little bit, but let's look back first. You helped the Chippewas to a 5-7 record last year, and you certainly had a lot of highlights. Your first start of the season came at one of the toughest places to play in the country, Notre Dame, where you completed 10 of 20 passes for 137 yards. You also ran for a touchdown in a 41-17 loss before a crowd of more than 77,000 people. Now, I know you've played at some other big stadiums like Penn State and Michigan State, but you know, that had to be really cool to go to South Bend. What was that experience like?
Yeah, that was really cool. Obviously get my first start last year at Notre Dame, and I think they were the 8th or 9th ranked team in the country at that point, and they told me I was getting the start, and you know, I just honestly was really calm throughout the whole game, and it was just another football game, but it was very cool to get to play in that front of that crowd. And you know, at halftime it was 14-17, so it was a really, really close game, and then we just kind of lost it there in the second half. But overall, really cool experience and something I'll never forget. So
then the following week at South Alabama, you came on in relief and led your team to a come from behind 34-30 victory. You ran for four touchdowns and passed for another, and you were named the MAC West Offensive Player of the Week. That was the performance that, you know, kind of elevated you to the starting spot then for the rest of the year. Did you kind of feel like it was becoming your team at that point? Because the quarterback obviously has to be a leader on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the quarterback, you need to, you know, him to be able to lead all 10 guys. And, I definitely knew kind of going into it, you know, whatever role they wanted me to get in, I knew that anytime I got an opportunity, I just needed to make the most of it. I knew my relationships with my former teammates, you know, were awesome. So, you know, if I was able to go out there and just kind of play my game and just help them as much as possible, I knew that, you know, if they ended up going with me the rest of the season, that, you know, I was going to just be there for my teammates and do the best I can do in that spot. So,
well, then later on October 31st, you guys posted a 37-31 win over Northern Illinois, and that improved your record to 5-4 with 3 games left to go. You know, at that point, did you think maybe this team was headed to a bowl game?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we knew we had 3 really tough opponents, you know, to end our year off with Western. We had, you know, a big rivalry, and then we had Ohio and then Toledo, which is, you know, those are three teams in the top of the MAC. But yeah, just in the Western game too, that was such a crazy game. And we were up 28-21, and I think we missed like a 30-something yard field goal in the fourth quarter. And they went down, scored, and then we fumbled on the kickoff. Kickoff return, and then they scored right away. So it just flipped just like that. The game can, you know, flip like that. But yeah, I also made some mistakes too that obviously you want to have back, but that's always with every game, you wish you can have something back. But yeah, just a tough way to end the season last year, but definitely it was a great experience for me, and you know, I loved every second of it. So,
well, your final game was a 32-17 loss to Toledo. And did you kind of know when you were walking off the field that day that you had played your last game for the Chippewas, or did it take you a little while, you know, to come to that decision?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I definitely, you know, had thought about it. And, you know, obviously during the season, you're not really thinking too much about that. You just want to, you know, win ball games, because we knew a bowl game was still on the line there. So I really wasn't thinking about it too much. And then kind of after, you know, like I realized that, man, like, all right, our season's over. I kind of, you know, started to do a lot of reflecting and a lot of praying and just, you know, kind of what my next step was, you know, for my future. And I felt that, you know, the Lord was leading me somewhere else. So yeah, that's kind of where that decision came into. So,
well, I did want to ask you about one of those other games late in the season. You mentioned the loss at Ohio. That was 34-20 the week before. I actually went out to Ohio in September to watch the Iowa State game, and that was an ugly 10-7 game. But I'd never been there before. I thought Athens was a pretty cool place. You know, what did you think about playing there? I guess the game wasn't a lot of fun.
But. Yeah, no, it was definitely a cool place. Like, driving in, I'd never been out there either. But yeah, there's a lot of rolling hills and just a very, very cool campus as well. And it was a midweek game, so it's just kind of an interesting, you know, dynamic overall. I don't know if you got to go in the locker room, but that locker room there is so small. It's one of the like just kind of known in the MAC, like the Ohio visiting locker room is like really bad. But it was a great experience overall. I love playing there. Obviously wish the result was different, but yeah, overall it was a great experience, and you know, just cool to get to go around and see all these new stadiums. So
yeah, I didn't realize how hilly that area of the country is.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I enjoyed playing there for sure.
Well, it was a busy fall for your dad Jeff, you know, last year too. Of course, he took over as the Ankeny football coach last season and led the Hawks to the Class 5A championship game. But I know your mom and dad traveled to most of your games, including the one in South Alabama. And I can imagine it's real easy to get to Mobile, Alabama after a Friday night game here in Iowa. You know, did that mean a lot to you to have your folks there at most of your games?
Yeah, I mean, they're the best support system. I love them to death and just absolutely blessed to have them on my side. And yeah, they do everything to get to my games. I don't think my mom missed a single one last year, like even midweek and everything. Like, she took off school. She even went to that Northern Illinois game. It was snowing, and like she's sitting in there in the stands. And yeah, I mean, my parents are the best, and obviously with my dad too, he's got a lot on his plate, and he's still, you know, making an effort to get there, and that truly means a lot to me. And obviously those are moments that we'll be able to share, you know, after my career is done and everything. So yeah, it's been awesome.
Well, I know you guys had a couple of those midweek games too, because those MAC teams play pretty much every day of the week, don't they?
Yeah, no, I know, and the same will be down here at Sam. They do that same thing, and I think in October. So,
well, after entering the portal, I believe that you heard from at least 8 schools, including a couple of Power 5 programs in Washington State and Baylor. You know, and I thought maybe you wanted to go to the highest level possible, but I think you've ended up visiting Northern Illinois, Northern Iowa, and Sam Houston State before choosing the Bearcats. You know, so what were the things that you were looking for in a new school?
Yeah, you know, I was just kind of looking for a team that really just, you know, the culture was just, you know, player-led and just really, you know, I don't know, there's just a lot of things that, you know, I don't really want to, I guess, go into. But yeah, there's just like obviously coaching as well. Like, I wanted to, you know, take the next step as a quarterback, you know, versus, you know, I felt like I'm definitely a mobile quarterback, but I definitely wanted to, you know, kind of take the next step, you know, to becoming a full all-around quarterback. So yeah, just kind of looking at those things and just, you know, having the coaches' support and kind of their coaching style. And yeah, the culture is obviously a big thing too. But yeah, there's a lot of school. The portal is just crazy. You know, I don't know if I'd ever, you know, want to enter it again, you know, if I don't have to, but just because it's so wild. And yeah, there's a lot of schools that, you know, you talk to, and yeah, like the big time schools, like they kind of wanted me to wait till later to make my decision. And I was kind of ready to get going and like find a spot. So I, you know, like some of those, like I would love to have played at the highest level, but you know, those schools kind of wanted me to wait a little longer to make my decision. And I was more wanted to make my decision and kind of get down there in January versus I think they kind of wanted me to maybe wait till after spring ball or something like that. So yeah, it all worked out great. And yeah, I went down to Sam Houston, and you know, I just absolutely loved it down there. And I'm loving my time down there. It's the weather's definitely a little warmer down there, but I'm loving it so far. So,
well, yeah, it seems like a lot of players that go into the portal, I mean, they end up making their decision pretty quickly because, you know, you want to take those spots that are available, because if you don't take them right away, you could end up losing them, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so many people that enter the portal and never find another place to go, you know. So yeah, it's just a weird dynamic for sure. But yeah, it all worked out in the end. So,
well, of course, your former high school coach, Rick Nelson, is now back on the staff at Northern Iowa. So was that one of the, you know, reasons that you visited there? What was that visit like?
Yeah, no, Coach Nelson, he's awesome. And yeah, I got a visit with him, and, you know, obviously him being there was a big part, you know, of me obviously considering Northern Iowa, just because, you know, I've been with him for however many years in high school. And yeah, he's such a great coach, and I loved going on visits with him, and I visited with him. Like, he came and saw my family and kind of all this stuff. And yeah, Northern Iowa was nothing but great to me. And that was definitely a very tough decision, because, I mean, you know, part of being home, like, if that was a decision I made, I mean, all my family here would be able to go see that, and that'd be a really cool thing. But yeah, just the Lord called me, you know, somewhere else. So you know, I'm fully trusting this plan. So
now, I've lost a couple of quarterbacks into the portal, including Joey Labus, who ended up transferring to Central Michigan and essentially filled the spot that you vacated, you know, I guess you could say. So I know I was also looking, you know, to add some depth behind Cade McNamara, who's their projected starter, and they had recruited you some out of high school, but you never heard from them, huh?
Not really, no. I mean, I talked a little bit to some of those guys, I mean, some of the staff up there, but I mean, nothing crazy at all. And I was just, obviously too, I knew they had Cade, and, you know, I was looking for a spot to kind of go there and sure, start playing there. So,
well, you've obviously been at Sam Houston now for several months. The school is a member of Conference USA, and I know the Bearcats are looking to rebound from a 3-9 season a year ago. You know, what do you think of the talent level in the program? You know, how does it compare to Central Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this spring was really awesome, and, you know, it's pretty similar to Central. Our skill positions that we have are very talented, and last year, I know they went 3-9, but they lost, like, I think 7 games within one score in the fourth quarter. So they're right there, and they have a lot of their skill guys were hurt last year, but kind of getting to play with them this spring and this summer here, they are very talented, and I think we're going to be a very sneaky team that goes under the radar, just because their record last year wasn't great. But we have a lot of talent there, and I think we'll shock a lot of teams around the Conference USA for sure, I think so.
Yeah, I was looking at that record from a year ago, and the team actually got off to an 0-8 start. You mentioned those close losses. Four of those last 5 losses, you know, came by less than a touchdown, and 2 of them were in overtime. And then the team did win 3 of its last 4 games. So do you think maybe that was the start of a turnaround for the program?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Coach Keeler is an awesome coach. And, yeah, he's just been kind of preaching to us, you know, about, you know, finishing those games. And, you know, obviously last year they were right there in a lot of games. So, yeah, he's just been preaching to us about how we're right there, and, you know, our talent level is right there. Just kind of have to finish those things off, and just you find those in the details, you know, whatever that is, whether it's workouts, extra film study, you know, just whatever it is. But yeah, just really looking forward to kind of getting out there with this team. So,
well, what kind of an offensive system do they run? I assume it's one that you feel like, you know, it would fit your skills.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of what I've been since high school and Central. I mean, it's this RPO kind of spread offense. You know, every system has a little bit of its own wrinkle. But yeah, I love this system that we got here. Coach Korn is our offensive coordinator, and you know, he's been at Virginia Tech for a while, but yeah, he's a great coach, and I'm really looking forward to kind of working with him here this season. So,
well, I was looking at the team's roster, and it appears that the two main quarterbacks from last season are gone. The only return who played is 6'6" graduate Grant Gannell, who previously played at Arizona, Memphis, and North Texas. He started and played in just one game last year, so I assume you're kind of coming in expecting to be the starter. You know, do you think that'll be the case, or do you still feel like you have to go in and win the job this fall?
Yeah, definitely have to go into this fall camp. I definitely know, you know, it's kind of, you know, they haven't really said anything to us a whole lot, but I know that going into it, it's going to be an open battle, and I got to go perform this fall camp, you know, and it's kind of out of my hands here. I try to go do my best, and, you know, whatever the coaches and team thinks that, you know, the best position for me to be in is, I'll go fulfill that. But yeah, obviously I'm hoping to be the guy, but you know, it's not totally my call. But yeah, I'm just going to go into fall camp and, you know, just kind of treat it as I were the guy, and I'll let everything everything else take care of itself. So,
well, I saw three other quarterbacks listed on the roster. Hunter Watson is a redshirt junior who transferred from Iowa Western Community College. Silas Gomez is a redshirt sophomore, and DJ Bailey is a freshman. I'm sure you've had a chance to see most of these guys on the field. You know, do you see some potential in those guys too?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a great room. You know, I think it's a big thing, and I've been a part of quarterback rooms where, you know, there are a lot of button heads, and you know, it's tough because only one of you guys can play at one time, and you got to have those guys supporting you behind. So I think we have a great dynamic in there. Everyone's very talented and does their own unique things. So I definitely like that dynamic in there, and we all support each other 100% because, you know, at the end of the day, only one of us can play. So
I was looking at your schedule, and you have five home games and then three other games in the state of Texas. You guys go to Rice, Texas State, and UTEP. One of your home games is against Hawaii. That's probably a team you'd rather play on the road, huh?
Yeah. I know. I think we play them at Hawaii next year.
I wondered about that.
Yeah. So that'll be cool.
Well, then your four games will all be down in the Southeast. Two of them are in Florida, one in Georgia, and one in Alabama. So I hope your folks have their frequent flyer miles ready to go.
Yeah, I think they're ready to go. It's nice having my brother. My brother's a pilot, so they can go fly for free if they want. So, yeah, that's definitely very crucial for them. So
that's nice. Does your dad have his travel schedule mapped out yet? Or?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's kind of on the go. But, yeah, he's probably going to might have to buy some tickets to make sure he can make it since he's leaving, you know, Saturday morning or whatever it is. So, yeah.
Right. Well, James, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it. It's been fun to catch up with you.
Yeah, Dan, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is a sponsor of the podcast as well. And MJ is also the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic, and we appreciate their support. All right, well, my other guest today is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and he's been on the podcast numerous times. The last time was just 3 weeks ago. He is Tom Butler. Tom, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, yeah, I thought we could have you back on today. It was kind of a crazy day there 3 weeks ago when we were doing that podcast. As you know, that was the day that our photographer, Drew Wolf, passed away, and that was kind of a crazy day for me because when I was doing the podcast, we were in the process of trying to find him and locate him, and at the time I didn't realize that you knew him as well because we talked later and you said that you knew him. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on his passing. So you'd known him for a long time?
Yeah, I've known Drew, well, it goes back to the 70s. Drew's grandpa moved to my hometown of Tipton, not Tiffin, Tipton, mm-hmm. and became the pastor of my local church. And at that point, Drew would come and visit his grandparents, and he would have been not even 10 years old at that point. And so I remember him being this little kid, always running around. And we weren't like buddies that hung out through the years, but throughout, you know, all of those years, Drew and I bumped into each other, and it just really, really casual friendship.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, I heard a lot of stories over the last few weeks. Of course, he owned the Walnut Street Gallery for many years. So I know you know, some people that work in the uptown area that, you know, knew him that way. And I went to his funeral and heard a lot of the stories from the people at his church. And of course, I didn't go to his church, so I didn't know any of those people, but I heard a lot of great stories from those people about, you know, the friendships that he developed with, you know, those folks. And so, yeah, he was really connected to the community in so many different ways. Of course, with the photography, he knew all the athletes and coaches in town. And some of those stories I heard were you know, nice to hear as well. But yeah, he just knew so many people.
Yeah, that was what was surprising to me, and it happens a lot. But to find out how deep his connections went with the people that I knew and in the community, and a lot of the people that I knew through real estate, their kids had been shot by him in their various sports activities and stuff. And to see all the comments from all of those people, it's amazing how many people knew him. Through his photography and, like you say, through his different businesses and stuff.
Yeah, one of the guys that spoke at his funeral talked about how, you know, when he would go to, like, the state track meet to watch his kids, you know, like, he didn't need to go to shoot, you know, like, those events for us because those schools weren't part of our coverage area, but he just showed up to shoot photos of those kids for his friend. And, you know, like, he showed up one day, another friend of his was training for an Ironman triathlon and was going to go out to Sailorville or the Big Creek and swim at 4 or 5 in the morning, but he was by himself, and Drew just showed up there with his kayak to go around with him to make sure that he was okay. And, I mean, that was just the kind of guy he was. I mean, he was always there for everybody, and I know he did so much for us, and I really appreciate it. And so, yeah, it's been a tough few weeks, but gonna have to move on, I guess. So
yeah, I really appreciate it. Listen to the parents say that when they saw that Drew was in an event, it just made them happy because they knew that they were gonna get good shots of their kid and their activity and everything. And he did care a lot about people. And I think from my perspective, as I was thinking back on my relationship with him, there are a couple things that stood out. Number one, he was just a kind, gentle person in a very aggressive, competitive world. He was just a kind person. And whenever I ran into Drew, he would always ask me questions. A lot of times you bump into people and they want to tell you what's going on in their life, and it's like they just were looking to somebody to talk about themselves to. And Drew would always engage and say, so how are you doing? How are the kids? How is it going on? And he was had a genuine interest in what was going on in my life. It wasn't something that was put on. He didn't want anything from me or anything. He was just that kind of person who genuinely cared about people. And I think that motivation was a power behind his photography. Like you say, he cared about people enough to get in a kayak at 5 a.m. and go make sure somebody was okay, or to know that a certain event is going to be really special to this family, and to take his time to go and document that for them. That's just the kind of guy he was.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times, you know, he told me that, like, oh, I went and shot, like, this, you know, rugby game because somebody asked me to. And that was another sport that, you know, we didn't cover on a regular basis. Or, you know, he went to shoot Ankeny Christian, you know, because we didn't cover them on a regular basis. But he would just do it because, you know, somebody wanted him to, or he just felt like he could do it. So, but one of the coaches was telling me the other night that they've raised some money or are looking to raise some money, and they're looking for a way to maybe memorialize Drew somehow with a plaque of some sort somewhere. They're trying to find the right location. They got to deal with, you know, some of the school's regulations or the cities, but you know, they want to do something to have out there to remember him always, and that'd be a great thing to have for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think Drew's the kind of guy that young people should look up to, and the quality of human being that he was and the way that he loved other people, that is something that we should honor.
Well, Tom, thanks for coming today. We won't talk real estate today. We'll do that the next time you come on.
That sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Dan.
All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had former Ankeny quarterback Jace Bauer, along with Coldwell Banker realtor Tom Butler. Appreciate the time from both of those guys on this busy holiday weekend. And hope everybody has a great 4th of July. And we'll be back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.